Today's opening prayer, our collect, is one of my favorites because of the words that we hear in prayer that go like this: that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Our faith is about what is real. Our faith is about what is really going on in our world and in our lives. One of our favorite phrases in the Episcopal Church is that praying shapes believing. And therefore, it is a good thing to have prayers that acknowledge what we know to be true, what's really going on, while also pointing beyond the moment to the promises of God. Far from being the opiate of the masses, religion, when it is true religion, speaks to us of what is now, promises what is best, and calls us to be about the work of God in the circumstances in which we find ourselves. Not an opiate where we sit there and do nothing and think everything's going to be okay. There are swift and varied changes in our world. Natural disasters. Personal finances rise and fall. Basketball goes one way or another. Oh my gosh, right? How many years? We're like the people in the desert for 40 years. My gosh, I almost was 40. But who knows what will happen on Monday? So, you know, the changes and chances. People are nominated to be bishops. Sometimes they're elected and sometimes they're not. We can't fix our hearts on any of that, the good or the bad. Life is changing, right? And sometimes it's swift. All we really have is this moment. And this is the moment where God is with us. The past is history, the future is mystery. Right now, God is here with us. Among those swift and varied changes, we pray that our hearts may be fixed, solidly fixed, not able to be moved, but devoted, fixed where true joys are to be found. And true joy is not that sort of happiness that comes and goes with the vicissitudes of life, but that deep joy that we find in our life with God, and when we're connected in our world to the things of God and the people in our lives who speak to us of God. We're here today also to be an answer to our prayers for others. On this first Sunday of the month and every first Sunday, we bring food and other items for our food pantry friends. We bring these gifts, if we like, to the altar, as a sign that in serving others, we are serving Christ himself. In our worship and in our offerings, we reach out to the one who is always reaching out to us. Soon we will enter Holy Week, next Sunday, with Palm Sunday. These days of Holy Week have a dynamic, and this dynamic is one of reaching, of longing, us for God and God for us, reaching and longing. And this is what we find in our gospel story for today. In John's gospel, we find the story of a woman who anoints Jesus and washes his feet with her hair, a very intimate, loving act. In other accounts, she's not named. But in John, we are reminded of the history Jesus has had with this woman, her sister, and her brother. We're reminded of the swift and varied changes into which the new life we have in Christ can be made known, even the greatest change of all, death. We hear that Jesus came to Bethany in this story, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And just in case you'd forgotten that, John reminds us, hey, this is the guy. This is the one he raised from the dead. All right? Pay attention. And they have a dinner for him. Of course they have a dinner for him, right? This is the guy who raised Lazarus from the dead. And they're there. And who's there? And there's Martha, right? Martha is serving as Martha does. You remember that from the other stories too. Martha serves. Mary is again, as in the past, at the feet of Jesus. But she's not there like she was in the past to learn, as a primary thing, but to offer love to Jesus, who she now knows a lot about. She knows something about what's coming for him, those swift and varied changes. She has learned, and now she acts. Mary has learned who Jesus is, and she's teaching others by her way of interacting with him, caring for him, being about the reality of his life and her life with him. But Judas has no time for this display. Stop what you're doing. Why not sell this ointment and give it to the poor, he says. Not a bad idea, but we hear that Judas actually doesn't care about the poor, but is more interested in the money for himself. And then we get to that verse about the poor that has been so misunderstood and misinterpreted. Jesus admonishes Judas by saying, "You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." In this context, Jesus is saying, "Why weren't you taking care of the poor yesterday, if you really care so much about them? They've been there the whole time." This moment, this is the moment we see the love of a woman for Jesus, and the moment, as I've been describing, it takes us back in time to remember and forward in time to what is coming. It's a mystical moment. It's this incredible experience in time about the past and the future. Judas is trying to stop it, but there's no stopping it. There they were, between times. In her commentary, passage by passage, Kayla McClug names the encounter between Jesus and Mary as one that we see with God. It's about life and death, and she uses this phrase that I love, brushing up against one another. Life and death brushing up against one another. McClug goes on to write, "At this intersection of death and life, we encounter Jesus, not only at the points of death, not only in the fullness of life, but at times and places where the two brush up against one another, where we meet ourselves in the narrow bridge between hope and despair. When we meet ourselves there, we are most apt to meet him." Mary and Martha met Jesus in their time of despair, mixed with a bit of hope, when death came for Lazarus, and then Jesus overcame that death. Our commentator goes on to note, "Now it is Jesus for whom death is stalking, Mary senses this looming loss and seeks to quench death's thirst by anointing Jesus' feet with precious nard. Her lavish offering stirs the shadows in Judas, who calls it wasteful and a terrible cheating of the poor. He desecrates the bridge Mary is building for true encounter. His greed separates him from the essence Mary intuitively understands." Mary has fixed her heart where true joys are to be found, and Judas has not. Mary has learned who Jesus is, and she's teaching us right now by the way she interacts with him. Judas can do all he wants to do to distract us from her act of love, but love always wins, and we remember this woman of faith to this day. There can be many distractions, as we know, swift and varied changes, but when our hearts are fixed where true joy is found, we, like Mary, are able to teach others about Jesus and the way we are devoted to him and the way we live by caring for others. Don't we long for this true encounter with God? God longs for true encounter with us in the same way. As we approach Holy Week and enter into the drama of that time, those holy moments of knowing Jesus, we pray that we may find this true encounter, which will have death and life brushing up against one another throughout the week. In the back of our minds, we remember the words of the prophet Isaiah, and maybe Jesus did too, how God said through the prophet, "I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Amen.